back.
Do you think that... Because that one kind of sucked, honestly. Except for I liked the twist ending a lot. If this one's, like, great, I might put this at the beginning. And just switch it around. And then you get the Heyo intro and everything at the second one. It'll be fine. Everyone will get what they need eventually. Mm-hmm. But it's like saying, hey, I fucked up the entree, so let's start with dessert.
You could do that.
But I don't feel... did I fuck it up? Did my reading suck, or was it just the actual content?
I don't know. I think it was just the book?
It's a little of both, you could be honest. Okay, anyway, we're starting this up.
Sometimes I don't like certain jokes that you make. You know that.
Whatever. Alright, anyway. I'm not disregarding what you say. I'm starting this fucking book.
Rude.
Wow.
Rude.
Anyway. This one's called How I Won My Bat by R.L. Stine. What? I guess you're admiring my swing, right? You're admiring the baseball bat I'm holding. He's probably talking about his dick. Maybe you're wondering how I got this bat. It's probably genetics. There's a story behind it, that's for sure. The story's probably his parents banging.
Maybe he's black.
Oh, that could be a reason for his bat. I just thought it had a lot of tar on it. I was the power hitter on my junior high's baseball team. Our team went to the state finals every year, and I was the star. This is where I check to make sure it's recording every goddamn time. Yep. It's not healthy. You could read about me in the local paper all the time. Michael Burns, he's got the power. Michael Burns wins it for Linfield again. That's me, Michael Burns. But now, I wished I'd never touched a baseball bat. Things are different now. I'm different. How much time has... I'm moving the mic. Gone by since the afternoon that changed my life. I'm not sure, but I can remember everything that happened as if it were yesterday. What's that?
Drink break.
Yeah, it is. Now I'm drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh.
Baseball practice. We had just finished doing our warm-up exercises on the field. Coach Manning called out, "Hey, Mike! You're up at bat." At the games, I always batted cleanup, fourth in the lineup. That made sense. I was the best. But this was only practice, and the coach liked to shuffle us around to keep us on our toes. I felt all my muscles go tight as I stepped up to the plate. You see, I had a problem. A big problem. He's probably talking about his dick again. I was in a real batting slump. The last game we played, I struck out 4 times. And in the past few batting practices, Jimmy the pitcher would lob me the ball and I would choke.
Probably choked on his dick too.
Swinging with everything I had as if they were fastballs. Some power hitter, huh? I couldn't even connect and everyone knew it. I was afraid my nickname was going to be Swing and Miss Mike, instead of Huge Fucking Penis Mike, as it had been before. Come on, Mike, Coach Manning called, as I took a few practice swings. Concentrate now. You know tomorrow's game with Lakeland is for first place. Yeah, Mike, don't mess up, Jimmy muttered from the pitcher's mound, where my cock was lying as it was so fucking long that it was literally on the pitching mound while I was batting. I hunched over the plate due to the weight of my huge cock. The bat just didn't feel right. It felt heavy. Wink. Too heavy. Relax, I told myself. Just relax and everything will be fine. The pitch came. High. I let it go. Strike! Ron called from behind me. I turned to him. Since when does the catcher make calls? The pitcher's in charge. What are you, some sort of power catcher?
All I can hear is butt sex.
I know.
All I can hear is butt sex.
But when the catcher makes calls, it's called a power bottom. There's a word for that. Mm-hmm. Since when does the power hitter... Oh, goosebumps is fun. Since when does the power hitter strike out every time? He shot back. Well, that did it. No way I could relax after that crack. I tried to get my old swing back, because like a butt crack too. But the bat felt even heavier, it's probably engorged with blood, and I could see my teammates shaking their heads. After about 10 minutes of batting practice, where the pitch
sounds about right,
where the best I could do was a little dribble right to the pitcher. The little dribble is called pre-cum. The coach called in somebody else. Listen, Mike, he said, putting his heavy arm around my shoulder. Why don't you go home and get some rest for tomorrow's game? I thought he was being nice, but then he added in a sharp voice, "You better shape up, kid. This game is for all the marbles. Both the marbles. Two big, heaving, veiny marbles." I trudged off the field, lower than a grounder to third. "Hey, Mike, hold up for a second." I recognized the guy jogging toward me. It was Tom Scott, a local TV reporter. School sports are a big deal in Linfield because it's probably nowhere near a coast. But a TV reporter covering practice? Wow! "You feeling okay, Mike?" he asked me. "Are you doing anything to shake this slump?" "I'm trying," I mumbled, feeling my face turn red. "Really?" I hurried into the locker room, feeling really embarrassed. I showered and dressed in a hurry. I wanted to get out of there before the team finished practice. I knew I couldn't stand all the teasing I'd get. A few minutes later, I stepped back outside and started toward the bike rack. I held my eyes on the ground. I was deep in unhappy thoughts. I'd give anything, even my monster of a cock, to get out of this slump, I muttered. I didn't see the strange-looking little man until I nearly tripped over him. "Oops, sorry," I muttered. He smiled at me.
"I heard what you said. You need a lighter bat."
That's a cock reduction. He said,
"Huh?"
I squinted at him, startled. The man wore a heavy black wool suit. He had a tiny round head and was completely bald. His skin was so pale, he looked like a light bulb. Ooh. That's not something a human should look like. This isn't a drinking break right here. Some Pabst. Hey, you know what I almost tweeted about the other day?
What?
I was going to make my own cartoon, like Grape Ape, and call it Pabst Blue Gibbon. Then I realized it was stupid. Had this guy ever been outdoors? "What'd you say?" I asked him. "You need a lighter bat," he repeated. His eyes were silvery. They crinkled as his grin grew wider. I saw for the first time that he held a baseball bat in one hand. He raised it so I could see it better. It was a shiny black wood. It had tape wrapped around the end. That means it was circumcised. It looked as if it had been used before. He's not a virgin. "It's very light and very powerful," the man said. He let out a strange crackle, as if he'd just told a joke. "Who are you?" I stammered, staring at the bat. "I'm a sports fan," he said. With his free hand, he reached into his suit pocket. He pulled out a business card and handed it to me. It read, "Mr. Smith, Director, Linfield Sports Museum." I handed the card back to him. I stared at the bat. "You want to sell me this bat?" He let out another crackle. He shook his shiny bald head and used the voice he used the first time he talked. "I'll give it to you, Mike." His strange silver eyes glowed excitedly. Had I told him my name? "It's a very good bat. You'll like it," he said. "Very powerful." The bat didn't look very special to me. "You want to give it to me?" He nodded. "Take it. Now." "You just have to make one promise." See, there's always something, isn't there? I knew there had to be a catch. "What promise?" I asked. Clouds rolled over the sun. The air turned cold. I felt a chill at the back of my neck. "You have to promise you will return the bat to the museum right after the game. You will not change clothes. You will not go home first. You will return it to me at the museum, understood?" It's probably going to freeze him there, and he's going to become like one of those baseball action figures that people apparently bought.
Yikes.
Have you seen those?
Which ones?
They just make action figures of baseball players. I don't know if they still do, but it was an early 90s thing. They're like, Todd McFarlane's making tons of money with these Marvel figures. Let's make them a baseball players. That's what kids are into.
Oh, God.
And it's just like, they love those hunky dudes. He pushed the bat into my hands, then pulled it out, then pushed it in, and pulled it out, and pushed it in, and pulled it out, and pushed it in.
Oh, God.
He's crazy, I thought. Why am I taking this bat? Am I that desperate to get over my batting slump? Yes. My hands wrapped around the bat. It didn't feel any different from the bat I had used that afternoon. Then, a chill passed through my whole body. Mr. Smith's ice-cold hand gripped my shoulder. Remember, he said, return the bat right after the game. I nodded and slung the bat over my shoulder. Then I made my way to my bike and pedaled away as quickly as I could. And what is that again, Connie?
Drink freight.
Mm-hmm. The next day was sunny and cool. A perfect day for baseball! The locker room was noisy before the game. All the guys were talking and laughing, but I was sitting quietly, trying to psych myself up and get blood into this monster I called a cock. Hey, Mike, Jimmy called, tossing me a water bottle that was nothing compared to my dong. We're behind you all the way. We're counting on you, man. Yeah, Ron gave me a thumbs up. We know you won't let us down. I felt so nervous. The water bottle... Can you imagine how hard it is to read this all the time?
Water butter.
I didn't fuck up this whole time, read two so far. You know, it's pretty impressive.
It's good.
I'm just saying.
I love that, though.
When I fuck up?
One time I said butter wong.
Is that a water bong? And then what?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing that right now.
It's funny.
The water bottle nearly slipped out of my hand. I took a long swig of water. I can't strike out. I told myself I won't strike out. And then it was time. We were up at bat. In the dugout, Coach Manning called everyone to gather around for the new batting order. I made some changes, he began, staring right at me. I knew what the coach meant, and so did everybody else. He was moving me from the cleanup spot. Ron will bat fourth, he said, and Mike will bat second. Second? I could deal with that. I'd be able to show everybody that much sooner that I was still a winner. That was written weird. I'd be able to show everybody that much sooner that I was still a winner.
Yes.
That's written weird, yes?
Yes.
Rick, the first guy at bat, hit a single. My turn at the plate. I can't watch this, I heard Jimmy groan to Ron. I picked up my new bat. All of a sudden, it felt really light, just as the strange little man had said. I carried it to the home plate and took my stance as a top. This is weird, I thought. The bat started to tingle. Suddenly, I felt tiny vibrations all the way to my toes and especially on my little pooper. The pitch came, low and outside. Strike! The umpire called. My friend Tyler Barrett. I probably shouldn't say real names in this.
Okay.
Boop! That's the sound that makes it so I should edit things. My friend T-Dog, T-Bone.
Okay.
I never called him either of those things. Was an umpire at the Little League when I was a kid. And then we got to be teenagers and he wasn't anymore. And he had a hat that said umpire. And then I put an H on it and said humpire.
Oh,
and then I wore
goodness.
The hat that said humpire. I was 15 and that was funny as fuck.
Wow.
Yeah.
So charming.
And that's still my sense of humor.
Yeah.
I let the second pitch go too. Strike again. I had to swing at the next one no matter what. The bat tingled and vibrated in my hands. The pitch was a fastball. I sucked in my breath and swung, trying to stay in control. Crack. The ball sailed high into the air. I shaded my eyes as I ran to first, but the ball flew so fucking high I couldn't see it. Was it going over the fence for a home run? It was. It worked! I shouted gleefully. The bat worked. I jogged to second, my arms held high above my head in a victory sign. The third base coach was grinning, waving me along. My teammates charged over as I rounded third, cheering and thumping me on the back. Then I came home. Linfield 2, 2 runs batted in for me. The next inning, I hit an even higher home run. 2 innings later, I came to bat twice and hit 2 more home runs. That's the way it went every time I went to bat. I pounded out a homer after homer. By the time I hit my 7th, the crowd was going ballistic. Ball lipstick. Ball licked. Ball. Damn it. Should have stopped there.
Yep.
7 home runs broke the school record, and when I hit my 9th, that broke the state record. The final score, Linfield 19, Lakeland 3. Not shabby. Not shabby at all. Afterward, a crowd of people swarmed around me. Jimmy and Ron hoisted me on their shoulders, and Tom Scott, the TV guy, asked me questions while camera crews and photographers took pictures. Hey, Mike! Ron waved me over after things settled down. We're all going to Pat's Pizza Place. That's alliteration. You know, to celebrate. So come on, man. You're the star. I hopped up on my bike. Led the fucking way. I cried out, excited about the game. That was like a little B wonton soup reference. That's good.
I was thinking you would say the wonton soup.
I thought I might burst. See, I just put a pause after that so people would be like, oh, yeah, it's sexual. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to say it's sexual.
Mm-hmm.
We rode off, still in our uniforms. The whole team was chanting, Mike, Mike, Mike. It was a great feeling, but suddenly my heart sank. The bat, I promised to return it right after the game. I had promised to deliver it back to Mr. Smith at the sports museum. I slowed down, letting the other guys pass me by. They were still chanting my name as I disappeared around the corner. Catch up with y'all later, I called. I don't know if they heard me or not, but I knew one thing for sure. I couldn't return the bat. No fucking way. I had to keep it. It was the greatest bat in the world. The bat had hit 9 home runs in one fucking game. I couldn't part with it. Promise or no promise, I had to keep it. Standing over my bike, I gripped the bat in my hands, trying to decide what to do. My first thought was to ride home and hide the bat in my room. Mr. Smith didn't know where I lived. Chances are, he would never find me. It's not a drinking break.
It's all right.
No. I decided that wasn't right. I decided to go to the museum to tell Mr. Smith the truth, that I had to have the bat. I'll offer to pay him for it, I decided. Any amount he wants, it's worth it, because I don't understand money, because I'm a kid. I remembered the address from the business card. It took a long time to ride my bike there. The museum was in a strange part of town. Nobody on the streets, no cars, no nothing. The museum was a low, gray building, not too inviting. I parked my bike beside the entrance, carrying the bat. I stepped inside that bitch. What a cool place. I couldn't believe I'd never been there before. The enormous, bright room was filled with life-size sports displays. He's going to be a life-size sports display, ain't he?
Maybe.
2 players elbowed each other fiercely in a hockey display. The figures were made of wax or something. It's probably skin, huh? I couldn't believe their scary expressions. Because they're scared because he's turning him in. Okay. I walked past a tennis display. A young man in tennis whites had his racket up, about to serve another player. They look so real. I expected to see the ball fly over the net. By the way, I only remember like 3 episodes of the Goosebumps TV show.
Okay.
But I feel like I saw this.
Maybe.
They're all on Netflix, and people are always like, hey, you should do commentary on them. But if I'm going to watch things on this thing, I'm going to watch people cooking in a competitive manner.
They're so bad.
I passed 2 high school basketball players going up for a rebound. Their muscles were straining. I could actually see beads of sweat running down their faces. Cool, I thought. Leaning on the bat as I studied the display, so cool. The baseball display was under construction. It's waiting for him. Part of a diamond had been built, but there were no wax figures playing ball. As I stared at the real-looking scene, Mr. Smith appeared behind it. "Hello, Mike," he said, smiling. His bald head shone under the bright display lights. "Thanks for returning the bat." I hesitated. I can't return it? I stammered. His silver eyes narrowed in surprise. What? I have to keep it, I told him. It's the greatest bat in the world. I'll do anything to keep it, Mr. Smith, I pleaded. He rubbed his pale chin. Well, really, I insisted. I need this bat. I want to keep it forever. He agreed. You can keep it forever. Forever, ever?
Forever, ever?
Forever, ever, ever? My mouth fell open. I was stunned. You mean I can keep it? He nodded, smiling. If that's what you want. He murmured, let me see your swing, Mike. Take a good swing, okay? I was so happy and grateful. I lifted the bat and started to show off my swing and froze in a blinding flash of silver light. And I've been standing here ever since. Frozen in place, the bat gripped tightly in my hands, about to take my best swing.
Yikes.
A lot of time has passed. I really don't know how much. I stare out at the cardboard backdrop, and I'm prepared to take my swing. People visit the sports museum. They come over to the baseball display, and they stare at me. They talk about how real I look, and what a great swing I have. It makes me happy that they like my swing. And I guess I have one other thing to be happy about. I get to keep the bat forever.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? That first off, the end. Scarlet's scratching things. Anyway, the end, and I would do a longer outro. However, I think I'm putting this one first because the other one's mediocre and people turn it off.
Yeah.
And this one was all right.
Yeah.
So I'm marking the page. Yeah. And saying that you guys can listen to the next one. It has the proper intro and stuff. But if you don't like it, you don't like it. It's no big deal. You can turn it off now. And it's going to be weird. But now I'm going to say, stay spooky, bitches. Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is more tales to give you goosebumps. This one's called Good Friends by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I haven't got really any feedback on these yet. I'm hoping you guys like them. I enjoy doing them. Connie's here again. Say hi, Connie.
Hi.
That's my girlfriend. Franklin's here. Yoda's asleep. Scarlet's just outside the door. Everyone's good. We just watched a Mitch Hedberg special, which always makes me afraid that I'm going to start doing that voice. Like, subconsciously. All right. Like, just... That was Matthew McConaughey, but still. Fuck, I feel like I had other things to say. Do I? No, not really. You want to dive into it? Tomorrow... You're possibly starting my whole other arm tattoo. That's exciting, huh? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have one more drink before we start. Quick, just say something while I'm drinking.
I have nothing to say. At all.
Well, that was enough.
Yeah.
To fill the space.
Well, good.
Good friends. This is where I check again to make sure it's recording. Jesus, I need to stop doing that, because it's weird, and it takes up space, and it ruins the flow. Good friends, Jordan and his best friend, Dylan, hopped off the school bus and walked up Oak Street. Wanna ride bikes? Jordan suggested. Yeah, okay, Dylan replied, but I have to do my homework first. Jordan rolled his eyes, because he doesn't like doing schoolwork, huh, you know? He's not a nerd.
Yeah.
Jordan eventually killed a prostitute and ended up in juvenile hall. Mm. Yep. Dylan was the only sixth grader he knew who always did his homework the second he got home from school. Jordan dropped his backpack on the front lawn and crossed the street. Can't you do it later? he asked. Dylan kicked a pebble across the sidewalk. No way, my mom will have a cow, he muttered. What's the phrase have a cow actually mean?
I don't know.
In the concept of it, it's almost like she's giving birth to a cow. Like she's going to flip out so much that she's going to drop a 600-pound animal out of her vagina.
Possibly.
Yep. Jordan sighed and pushed his bangs out of his eyes. Already hate Jordan because bangs on a dude. Then, just tell her you did your homework in school, Dylan. She won't be home for hours. She won't know if you did it or not. Dylan bit his bottom lip sensually. I don't know, Jordan, he said, lowering his voice. What about? He pointed toward his dong. After biting his lip, just kidding, he pointed toward the house. They're not really going to hook up, but they might. We'll see. Page 2. Who? Richard? That means dick. Jordan asked, making a face. Will you forget about him already? Your older brother's a total jerk. Dylan shot a nervous glance toward the house. Shh, he'll hear you. Jordan folded his arms across his chest. So what? He demanded loudly. Everyone knows that Dick is a total dick. Says Richard is a total jerk, but I changed it. Dylan gasped. Come on, Jordan, he pleaded. Be quiet. He'll pound me. That doesn't need a joke. That doesn't need a joke, because butt stuff. Jordan shook his head. He couldn't believe Dylan was so scared of his brother. Richard was 14 and big and strong and hung. But so what? Just forget about him, will you? Jordan said. Come on, let's ride. They rode their bikes around the neighborhood for a while. Then they stopped in Dylan's driveway to shoot some hoops. Dylan kept staring up nervously at his brother's bedroom window. I hope he leaves us alone today, he said to Jordan. Ever since my mom put him in charge after school, Richard has been worse than ever. He acts like he's the king of the house. Oh, he's the king, all right, Jordan snickered. You ready? You ready? King of jerks! Ah, so good. Dylan laughed nervously and glanced back up to the window. Would you forget about him already? Jordan said. Come on, let's play. Show me your best slam dunk. Boom, shamalama ding dong. He's heating up. He's on fire. Puts up a brick. No good. All I know about basketball I learned from NBA Jam, Space Jam.
Yep.
And what was the free one that was on PlayStation Plus? NBA 2K13, maybe? The one that just annoyingly plays Drake's Static on the Bottom Now, yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen that.
Oh, that's the one me and Alex play and turn into young black men and yell at each other.
Wow.
Dylan dribbled the ball on the driveway. He was just about to shoot when The Pest, starring John Leguizamo, came skipping across the street. The Pest was Ashley, Jordan's 7-year-old sister. Ashley plopped down on the sidewalk in front of Dylan's house and began playing with her Barbie dolls and talking to herself. What a schizo. Jacqueline, your hair is long and pretty, like Barbie's, Ashley said. Jordan and Dylan exchanged glances, then cracked up. Your sister's talking to her imaginary friend again, Dylan said, rolling his eyes. You're sad, Jordan called out to his sister. You're really sad. Ashley shot Jordan an angry look. Shut up, dummy! She screamed at him as if it was the Jeffersons. Jacqueline and I think you're sad. Where is Jacqueline? Jordan demanded. How come Dylan and I can't see Jacqueline? How come it looks like you're talking to yourself again? Ashley ignored her brother. Don't pay any attention to them, Jacqueline, she said. They're just acting dumb, like all boys always do all the time, even though they make like 30% more than me just by existing, whatever. Dylan shook his head. Come on, Jordo, he said like a tardo. Let's just play. Jordan, or Jordo, as he was known to his friend, get it? Because that's what he just called him? I'm going to text Jordan and call him Jordo. Made a face at his sister, then grabbed the ball and took a jump shot. The ball hit the rim and bounced off. Speaking of Jordan, Jordan's my only friend that when I was trying, I couldn't. And I don't want to embarrass you, Connie, but you tried and you couldn't to make the armpit fart sound.
Oh, yeah.
And Jordan can do it impeccably.
Yes, he can.
The thing where you like look like you're trying to fly with a wing and you fart. I feel like this episode's not good so far. I gotta kick it up a notch. Let me drink more. I'm drinking Sailor Jerry rum with club soda with Mexican Pepsi. Ha ha ha. Ashley burst out laughing. Did you see that, Jacqueline? She cried. Jordan missed an easy one. Ashley, get lost and eat shit, Jordan cried angrily, and take your imaginary friend with you. Ashley dropped her dolls and ran up to him. I told you, Jacqueline isn't imaginary, she screamed. She's real. Oh yeah, Jordan shot back. Then if Jacqueline is real, where is she standing? Right here, Ashley replied, pointing to her left. Jordan lobbed the ball at high speed in the direction. Think fast, Jacqueline, he shouted. Just like Rufio did to Pan when Pan came back and he's like, throw him the rock. And that's how I learned the basketballs are called rocks from the Asian guy in Rufio.
Yup.
And that's... That's another way I know about basketballs from Hook.
I don't know much.
Bangarang! Ashley gasped. No, stop it, you'll hurt her. Jordan laughed and moved closer to his sister. How come Jacqueline didn't stop the ball? He teased. Because you threw it too fast. Ashley stammered. Where is she now? Jordan demanded. Let me try it again. This time, I'll aim for her fucking head. He and Dylan both laughed. You leave us alone, I'm telling. Ashley whined. Come on, Jacqueline, let's go. She turned to leave. Come on, Jacqueline, Jordan mocked in a whiny voice, trying to imitate his sister. Shut up, Jordan, Ashley cried. Shut up, Jordan, Jordan repeated. Cut it out. Jordan grabbed the air and pretended to hold somebody. Hey, look, Ashley, I've got Jacqueline. She's my prisoner. By the way, repeating things that people say in an annoying tone.
Yeah.
Is... So simple, so stupid, so petty, and it's the most annoying thing you can do still.
Yeah.
It's so, yeah.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
Stop.
Oh my god.
Fucking punch you.
See, it's the most annoying fucking thing in the world.
You know who does that to me?
Who?
Logan.
Oh, but he's 7.
He's such a brat. All right. I hate it.
It's funny. I'm going to start doing that to people. When I'm at work, I can do customer support and they're like, hey, I'm having a problem. You got to do it like half retarded, dude. I'm having a problem. That's just good stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that up at 30.
Okay.
Yep. Cut it out. Jordan grabbed the air and pretended to hold somebody. Hey, look, Ashley, I've got Jacqueline. She's my prisoner. Ashley balled her hands into fists. Let her go. Let my people go. Hey, Dylan, bring me that rope from the garage. Let's tie Jacqueline to that tree, Jordan cried, grinning. Ashley screamed, no, stop, Jordan. Let my people go. Jordan kept laughing. Wait, maybe Jacqueline would like to help us practice our jump shots. We can hang a net in her head and use her face as the backboard. Oh no, they're gonna mess up her pizza face. I'm telling, I really am, Ashley declared. She picked up her dolls and angrily ran down the driveway and across the street. Do you see what I have to put up with? Jordan said, shaking his head. Dylan started to answer, but an angry voice interrupted, shouting from the window above them. Hey, loser! Jordan and Dylan raised their eyes to the upstairs window. Dylan's brother, Richard, stuck his head out. Dylan, did you do your homework yet? He called down. You better have it finished, or I'm telling Mom.
Ew.
What a total.
Fuck that guy.
You're slightly younger than me, so you know what words are still cool?
No, I don't.
Can you use the word faggo, or is that not appropriate?
Use bunk sometimes, which is so stupid. Oh,
I don't use the word bunk. That ain't dank.
But what?
I'm saying, can you call people faggos acceptably, or is that...
I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I guess no. I haven't heard anyone use it.
Because you know I've put a lot of effort in trying to bring back Gaylord.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Gaylord's really important to me, and Riri's important to me.
Yeah.
Like, if someone stole my car, they would be a Riri Gaylord, which is as bad as it gets for me. Dylan nervously rolled the ball between his hands. Just ignore him, Jordan whispered. Dylan lifted the ball and tossed it up to the net. The ball missed the backboard completely. Air ball! Richard burst out laughing. You really are a loser, Dylan. I could make that shot blindfolded. Who taught you how to play? Did your best friend Jordan teach you how to shoot like that? Jordan's face grew red, like the people that sit on reservations all day doing meth and drinking low-grade booze. Sorry, I didn't know any other stereotypes about Indians. He opened his mouth to say something nasty, but Dylan's eyes pleaded with him not to. Please, Jordan, Dylan begged in a whisper. Just ignore him, please. Hey, what'd you say? Richard shouted down from the window. Are you talking to me, loser? Dylan cleared his throat. No, just leave me alone. I did my homework already, so just leave me alone. Richard shook his head. Try shooting with both hands, he called down. Then he slammed the window shut with a loud thud and got back to masturbating. Dylan hugged the ball tightly to his chest. His face was white. Ooh, I feel like everything he says is more legitimate now that I know his face is white. He thinks he's so great, he muttered, his voice trembling. What a jerk, Jordan exclaimed. Why do you let him boss you around like that? Dylan shrugged. Because he can beat me up, he admitted. Well, if he were my brother, I'd tie him to his bed at night and tape his mouth shut and just have my way with him, Jordan said, seriously. Dylan laughed. You always have the best ideas, Jordan. What are good friends for? Jordan replied. That's cute. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's this? What's this little pause?
Drink break.
It's a drinking break. Later, Dylan sat at his desk, slumped over his math book. I've got it, Jordan cried suddenly, startling him. You've got what? Dylan asked. Presumably herpes. The perfect trick to play on Ashley, Jordan announced with a mischievous grin. Dylan smiled and lowered his pencil. What is it? He asked eagerly. Your tricks are always the coolest. Thanks, Jordan replied proudly. Okay, here it is. You know how scared Ashley is of Axel and Foley, right? Is Axel Foley Eddie Murphy's character from a Beverly Hills Cop?
I don't know.
Will you look that up right now while I'm reading and tell me? Axel Foley. I swear to God that's the guy from Beverly Hills Cop. Dylan nodded. Yeah, I don't like Richard's pet tarantulas either. Well, Jordan continued grinning, what if Axel and Foley somehow got loose? It is Axel Foley. That's hilarious. Good job, R.L. Stine. All right, so that's Eddie Murphy's character from Beverly Hills Cop before he got arrested for, not arrested, but pulled over for having a tranny prostitute, and everyone just kind of pushed that under the rug. You know who didn't? Me. I wouldn't give him the money for Haunted Mansion. Actually, it wouldn't bother me. I just want him to admit to it. He got pulled over for it.
Yeah.
He had a tranny hooker in his car. Yep. If he just went like, yeah, I'm married to Scary Spice, of course I'm into trannies. That would have been fine, but no. He just didn't ever talk about it. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Dylan's eyes widened. I don't know. Oh, come on, Jordan insisted. Ashley would freak. I'll run up to her and scream, the spiders are loose! The spiders are roost! Run for your life! I said roost as if I was, Godzilla is roost! Then, when Ashley runs out screaming, I'll tell her that I saw Axel swallow Jacqueline up whole. Well, Dylan hesitated. His friend's plans always scared him a little. Dylan, come on, it's perfect. Look at her. Jordan pointed out the bedroom window. My dopey sister's playing catch with her invisible friend right there in the front yard for everyone to see. Dylan peered out the window. She does look pretty stupid, he admitted. Okay, so let's sneak into Richard's room and... Jordan, I don't know if this is such a good idea. Dylan said. Richard will pound me for sure if we touch his spiders. Hell, even if we don't, I'm in for a pounding. Oh, stop worrying so much and lube up, Jordan replied impatiently. He'll never know. He's down in the den right now watching television. We'll be real quiet, no problem. Dylan peered out the window again and watched Ashley playing catch with her imaginary friend, God. Okay, let's do it, he agreed. Jordan led the way to Richard's room. They crept inside and made their way to the tarantula tank. Go ahead, Jordan urged, whispering. Pick them up, hurry. Dylan picked up the two tarantulas, one in each hand. They felt warm and hairy like an Armenian's balls. They kind of tickled like the same. Tiptoeing silently, they made their way down the stairs, sneaking past Richard in the den. Jordan, who was tiptoeing it himself, pushed open the front door. They crept down the front steps and onto the driveway. This is going to be awesome, Jordan whispered as they crept up behind Ashley. Dylan held the tarantulas above his head. Ashley didn't hear them coming. She was laughing, calling out to her invisible friend. Nice throw, Jacqueline. They tiptoed closer until they were right behind her. One more step and... Dylan! A voice roared from the porch. Jordan and Dylan whirled around. It's Richard! Dylan gasped in horror. Jordan saw his friend's face go whiter. It says white, but I assume they're white already because R.L. Stein only writes about white kids. Hey, hands up, don't shoot! That's topical. That's what the protesters are saying.
Yep.
You know what I protest? Blocking freeways.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That was where I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
I get it. It's cool, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm on this...
And it's just, like, straight up dangerous for everybody.
Oh, yeah, they're by hospitals and stuff. That's why I'm saying now I'm fine with killing black kids.
Zachary...
It's Dune, Conchetta.
Dune, murderous.
Oh, pish posh. My point is, don't block freeways, you idiots.
I'm glad that I can yell a full name to you, even in...
Whatever. Richard moved toward them quickly, glaring furiously at Dylan. I could just cut you off with the book. What are you doing out here with my tarantulas? Richard demanded. Well... Dylan stammered. I know what you're doing, Richard accused angrily. You're playing with Jordan and Ashley again, aren't you? Dylan stumbled backward as Richard moved closer. Well, do you know what an embarrassment you are? Richard cried. You're just such a fucking weird kid. Always playing by yourself and talking to yourself. But, Dylan sputtered. Richard took the tarantulas from Dylan's hand. Dylan. You're too old for imaginary friends, Richard said. Forget about Jordan and Ashley, okay? They don't exist. They're just in your mind. Imaginary friends are for babies. That is fucking... I like that twist ending. I normally don't, but... Okay, yes. Jordan being an imaginary friend is fine. Yeah. But the fact that the fucking sister and her imaginary friend are imaginary, that's fucking good. That's deep.
Yep.
That makes you think about your own existence.
Absolutely.
You know what's going to scare the fuck out of me? Is if I go to edit this and I can't hear your voice.
Ooh, spooky.
Imaginary girlfriend. Set my face on fire to see if you're real. Do it.
No, I don't want to do that.
All right. Anyway, if you can confirm that Connie exists, email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com. If you hear her as well. No? No? Whatever. The next one I'm going to read is How I Won My Bat. But I'm going to take a break first. How I Won My Bat.
Very.
Could be a baseball bat, could be a little spooky flying bat. We'll see, won't we?
I hope it's a spooky flying.
It probably will be.
Maybe it's both.
Do 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 do. Dune!